The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If the Lord is filling you with the knowledge of His will, give me an amen.
Amen.
If blessing is flowing into your life as a result of that, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seats. Let's open our Bibles again. I want us to start again today from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We have been speaking about total faith. And having explained the concept of faith being all round, I'm now beginning to speak about how to build up your faith, what you can do specifically in building up your faith, your own efforts that you can put into the activity. Let's start again from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, which we read last time. Because we read it last time, I will not read too many of the verses, just so that we can save some time. Let's just go down straight to verse 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." He said, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." He said, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, because I mentioned it last time, let me just read it again, verses 6 and 7 from the Amplified Bible. It says, "And these words which I am commanding you this day shall first be in your own minds and hearts. Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children." That is, the aim is to make them penetrate so as to enter into the heart of the hearts and minds of your children. And how do you do that? How do you sharpen it? "You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, that's reading that from the Amplified Bible. That's the first portion we are reading today. Quickly go over again to the book of Psalms. I want us to read Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, it goes like this. From verse 1, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates." I read this so as to bring out the word meditate. "In the law he meditates day and night." He said, "If a man does this, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and his leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers." Please, I want you to understand it. He said, a man, I've said this over the last few meetings, I've explained this, that what comes to you in life is not first of all your desire. What you will experience in life is based upon where you have positioned yourself. You can decide to sit in a particular place. You can decide to stand in a particular way on the path. Or you can be the one walking in a particular council. You choose the ones you want to do. And based upon that, things flow into your life. Last time I spoke about predestination again, and I emphasized the fact that predestination does not mean that whatever God has determined will happen. Predestination means that God has set paths in place, and anyone you choose, the end has been predetermined. And God has a will. What is God's will? That is his own personal desire. That is the thing that he wrote concerning your life. It does not mean it will automatically come to pass. It is when you make the right choices that your life goes in the way that God desired. The fact that God desires something does not mean it will happen automatically. God desires to take the children of Israel into the promised land, but they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. It was written, "You will leave Egypt, you will go into the promised land." But they did not enter. So the will of God does not come to pass automatically. That was why the Lord Jesus taught us to pray like this. Thy will be done. Are you getting my point? If it came to pass automatically, that would be a nonsense prayer point. The fact that prayer is needed to make something happen is proof to you that that thing does not happen automatically. So that's what it is about predestination. And we have been looking at this. Now, the man that does not stand in the way of sinners, stand in the path of sinners, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, what is he supposed to do? Life or nature, we're told in elementary physics, refuses a vacuum. Nature does not life like a vacuum. What it means is that if you are not doing this, you must be doing something else. You cannot just be perfectly neutral. That's just the way it is. If you are not doing one, you're on the other side. So if you are not walking the counsel of the wicked, if you are not standing in the path of sinners, or sitting in the seat of scoffers, what that means is that there is something else that you are doing. That is how it is. And if you go through the scriptures, anytime God says, don't do this, you will notice he always says, do this one. Walk in the spirit. That is how you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's always like that. He will tell you that don't do this, but you shall do this. Do not, he said, in fact, let me just quote it. I wanted to refer to it, but so as to save our time, we all know it very well. The book of Joshua chapter 1, in verse 9, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. That's the way it is. You must not get to a particular position in which the book of the law is not found with you in your mouth. He said, so what do you do therefore? You will meditate, which is why I'm reading this. It's the same principle. If you are not going to walk in these wrong ways, then it will be because you have occupied yourself with a particular thing. And what is that thing? It is meditating in the law of God day and night. Now, let me clearly explain the meaning of that word meditate. Before I do that, let me just remind us of what we said last time briefly concerning the ambience of faith. We said that what God wants to do, or God wants us to do, is to create a faith environment around us, an environment in which faith can grow, an environment in which faith can be expressed. That's what I mean by the ambience of faith. That is something, you be in a particular spiritual atmosphere where the word of God can work in your life. It is possible for God to want to do something and he's not able to do it. We need to get this point very clear into our hearts. It is possible that God will say, this is what I want to do, and he will not do that thing. Why? Because ability was withdrawn from him. Why? Because of our unbelief. And we are able to hinder what God wants to do. The Bible says that they tempted God in the wilderness and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They set a mark, they set a point which he couldn't move beyond. It is possible for us to limit what God wants to do in our lives. And God said, if I want to bless you, therefore, I want you to make it possible for me to bless you. If my glory is going to flow into your life, you must have prepared a way by which it can flow. That's what we read that one from the book of Isaiah chapter 40. We're not reading that now. So what God was saying, therefore, to the children of Israel, I want to bless you. He says, so you must create around you the atmosphere of faith. It is important. That is when my blessing can flow into your life. If you do not have that correct atmosphere around, even though I am present with you, all right, I will not be able to stretch my blessing into your life. Jesus went to his own hometown, and the people there could not be blessed by him. So what is our own lesson? Create your ambience of faith. Create an atmosphere around you. And that's why we read from that Deuteronomy chapter 6. It said, what do? You talk about it day and night. You talk about the word of God when you get up. You talk about the word of God when you are going out. You talk the word of God. I don't want to say about now. I withdraw that. You talk God's word as you go out. You talk that word as you return. You talk that word as you are lying down. You talk that word as you are getting up in the morning. It is the thing that permeates your thoughts. It's the thing that permeates your talk. All right? So that anytime you're talking, your words are framed with the counsel of God that you have learned. That is how you create the ambience of faith around you. Now, let me explain the meaning of this word meditate again. All right? For those of us who do not know. Meditate in English, the way most of us look at it, is as if you sit down and you are thinking. And listen, there is a right place for thinking like that in Christianity. There is. All right? You sit down and you are reasoning. But when the Bible uses the word meditate, especially in this context now, Psalm 1 and that Joshua chapter 1 in verse 8, what he was saying is that in his law you talk to yourself day and night. The literal Hebrew means to mutter. You understand? Because you see, when you are thinking, let's be honest about it. Thinking is a mind. I don't know about your mind, all right? But human mind, if mind is anything like a common one, is difficult to control. Okay, you are a Hindu. I mean, you're a Hindu. You've done all these things, and you can control your mind very well. Maybe. But if I have a witness, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
A witness is somebody who believes what I've said, though. Don't lie. If you can control your mind, don't say amen. All right? But if you understand what I mean by the mind can just wander, say amen.
Amen.
It can be very difficult to control. It can be very difficult to control. The one that is easier to control is the mouth. The mouth is easier to control. If you want to pray, your mind can travel any direction. But once you start talking, right here, I'm preaching. Do you know I can never say anything? I can't mistakenly start talking about the weather unless it's part of my message. But you listening, I feel sorry for you. You can hear me halfway. You just remember, did I close my window? That is it. I'm here preaching away, trying my best to bless you. And you don't even, I'm not saying, somebody say amen. Say, oh, if you are going to die this year, shout amen. You'll have shouted amen before. Why? Because the mind is not there. The mind just wanders. And God knows that. So what did he put in place? Did he say, when he says meditate, he talks about talking. It's about muttering. All right? You take the word of God and mutter it. So he said, in fact, let me just really say something. All right, let me say what he said here. So he said, if you will not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, the only way is that you will be meditating in the word of God day and night. Let me tell you something, what I wanted to say. I remember once I was in school, there was one of our senior brothers, when I was on campus. One day he stayed over, he came from town. I think he was graduating, or he came back for something in school. I think I just graduated. So he stayed over in our room. And that was my first experience with somebody like him. After a while, you know, like Americans would say, he was freaking me out. I wasn't used to it. It was my earlier days in school, when I was just learning the word of faith. He couldn't keep quiet. We were only two in the room. I came with some of the brothers. They left. I was in the room. He was there. And I noticed that this fellow wouldn't keep quiet. And he was not talking to me. He wasn't talking to me. Neither was he praying. I didn't know that this man had gone far ahead of the rest of us in spirituality. At the point is, I wanted to leave the room because I became afraid that, is this guy normal? Why? It was later on I realized it. We now learned it. Everything he's doing, he's talking. You know, he brings out the book and he starts discussing to him with himself how he's above alone, how he can do everything, how nothing is a problem for him. And I kept on looking at, is this guy normal? I almost ran away from the place. I'm not kidding. No, I'm not exaggerating. Now I can't remember what I actually did. I suspect I did. After a while, I said, this guy is risky. Maybe I wore my slippers and took his stroll till other people came back. But the thing is that he was talking God's word. I remember him very well, forgetting his name. But what I'm talking about is the fact that he wouldn't keep quiet. I don't think he kept quiet till he fell asleep. That is what the Bible calls meditating. That is what it calls meditating. That is, the mouth is busy, is talking. And the man wasn't talking nonsense. He was discussing God's word. I remember very well. He was quoting one scripture. He's telling himself things. He's telling his mind things. He's telling his life things. He kept on talking throughout. That is the meaning of the word meditate. One thing that came to my mind, apart from that brother that made me laugh earlier, is the fact that if you behave like that, you don't need to try not to walk in the path of, sit in the path of sinners. The sinners will not give you the seat. You don't need to try and say, I will not sit in the path of sinners. Just meditate in the word of God day and night. They will not give you that chair. If you come and start quoting scripture, I remember my chief medical director when I just left school, that's the hospital where I did my housemanship. Once I went to visit him because somebody who knew me was introduced me to him that is a Christian, that I should go and visit him. So one of those days, those my early days, I went to visit the man. And now he had his own, habits. Let me put it like that. Okay? He had his own matters. So I'm not saying whether his matters were good or bad. But there's something he said. So people came to his office to come and see him. And he decided that they were wicked people. He decided. All right? He decided that they were wicked people. And they are evil people. And he's going to make them uncomfortable. So when they sat down, after a while, he said he has his way of doing that. They will soon run. Now listen to this. He just started talking. And as he's talking, he started explaining how Jesus had defeated the devil. How all the counsels of the enemy will come to nothing. How Jesus is exalted. After a while, two people got up and left. He said this. He said it works all the time. That when these evil people come, just start talking the word of God. That they will run away. Because I remember very well, I was a very young boy. I just left school. And this was a very senior person. I just sat in his office very humbly. He said that's what they do. That he perceived the evil they came with. That's how he drives them all the time. He just starts exalting the name of Jesus and they will run. Whether it's because of their spiritual problem or they didn't like the man. All I know is that once the man started, true. They said, it's all right, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you very much. And they got up and left. He said, you see, that it all works all the time. What about them to explain? You don't want to sit in the seat of sinners or scoffers. Don't worry. Meditate in the word of God day and night. They will not give you that chair. They won't give you that chair. It is not possible. Listen, the ambience around you will make them not want you around. That's why I said that, listen, God does not, some of the things where we put our effort in trying to do right in life, that's not where the Lord wants us to put our effort. Many times what he just wants is, he gives us little things to do. Like this one, he said, quote your words all the time with scripture. Now, scripture is not just about quoting. You quote, that is good. But just frame all your ideas with God's word. You will discover that the sinners don't even want you around. They will discover that your counsel is not good for them. So both of you will separate from each other without anybody even trying. You are getting what I'm not explaining here. That's what we're talking about. So I'm trying to emphasize the meaning of the word meditate. Let's start with that. Remember last time I emphasized this issue? That God said, you will talk about the word when you lie down, when you get up. I emphasized so much last time about the importance of the ambience around you. Now, what I'm going on to talk about today is how to create the right environment around you yourself. Whether you are alone, or especially when you are with people of like passion. Where I ended with last time is from that book of Malachi. Let's quickly go back there. I think I should read that. That book of Malachi. There are simple things that the Lord has given us to do in life. If we do them, believe me, life is much easier. Being a believer is much easier than many of us think. The book of Malachi chapter 3. Don't worry, I'm not reading verse 8. Will a man rob God? Let me just tell you, you shouldn't rob God, amen? You should not. I don't know how you intend to do it, but whichever method you want to use, avoid it, all right? If I don't pay my tithes and offerings complete, am I robbing God? That's the topic for another time. Anyway, that's not our message. The Lord is good. Just by the way, everything you read in the scriptures, there is a spirit, okay? And you tap into that spirit, that's what God is trying to pass into the life of believers. Now, what I want is from verse 13. He said, your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And that we have walked in mourning, that is in humility, in, contriteness, all right, before the Lord of hosts. He said, what we are experiencing is verse 15. The arrogant are blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Let me just pause for a moment. Remember last time I said that when God said, you've been arrogant against me, It wasn't, most times people conspire against the Lord or speak against the Lord, they don't even have to be addressing him directly. They're just talking about matters. And the way they reason about things, okay, decides whether they are being arrogant or conspiring against God or not. I'll read something, then I'll amplify something I said last time. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. Notice something. Some people were arrogant against God by the way they spoke, but some feared God and they spoke to one another, and the Lord heard it. Please notice this. Everything you are saying, the Lord is hearing. You will see the importance in a moment. Everything you are saying, the Lord is hearing. The Lord said in verse 17, these people, they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possessions. He said, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Now let me stop here and quickly explain what I want to say. We began this one last time. This was where we ended. I'm picking up from there. What I'm going to say today, let me just summarize my message for you in a few sentences, and then we'll develop it deeply. I'm going to emphasize that the ambience around you is important. We did that last time. But what we are going to today is how to create the right ambience around yourself. All right? How to create it. Now, I'm emphasizing to us the words we speak, what we meditate on. When the Bible talks about meditation, all right? What that means is what you are muttering, the things that consume your heart and then overflow in the words that come out of your mouth. That is what the Bible calls meditation. And I'm going to emphasize to us that what we are saying every time the Lord is hearing, and that thing is attracting or repelling the spirit of faith towards or from us. Very important. Now, I was going to say something. How you judge matters in life. You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12, very famous scripture, very popular one, verse 1, it said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me explain the meaning of the word mind again. That word mind was talking about how you interpret things. Let me emphasize that. The word mind talks about how things make meaning to you, how you interpret things. That is how information is decoded. You know, I was talking to my colleagues a few days ago. Yesterday or the day before yesterday, to be precise, all right? Just yesterday or the day before. And he was talking about how he went somewhere and, this is a clear case of tribalism. This was what happened. When he finished, I said, are you sure? He said, no, I know what I'm saying. I said, so they did not employ you because they were being tribalistic? He said, yes. He said, don't mind those people though. He was talking to me. So I was looking at him. All right? So I began to ask him a few questions. By the time I was done, I said, you see, you decided it was tribalism because that was what you wanted to see. Yeah. I said, you decided it was tribalism because it was already in your mind. Now, please, I don't want to give details of the gist. The summary of it was that he went somewhere to ask for employment, and they told him simply, we have reserved the position for this person. Now, if you know the way my profession is, all right, when you go into postgraduate training, at a point in time, you're a junior registrar when you start, then you become a senior registrar after you pass the first set of exams, and then when you finish the second set of exams, each one takes like 2 to 3 years in between, all right, then you are said to be a specialist. You cannot be employed as a consultant. Now, he had finished, he was a specialist, and he went to a place to go and apply for work, and they told him to his face that, he said, even though there is space for somebody like you, we are not giving you because we have reserved it for somebody who has not yet qualified as a specialist. The person is still in training as a senior registrar. Are you getting the point? So he told me, he said, you see, it was tribalism. I said, is that so? I told him a story. I said, a hypothetical situation. I said, let us assume that I become the president of Nigeria, banking, and I start putting people in positions in office around me. I said, let's assume I take one of my very good friends. I say, I need a lawyer. Most lawyers I know, actually, who are close to me, they are from Enugu. Okay? So I pick somebody from Enugu. Now, I give an example. I say somebody like Kingsley. Kingsley and I were, those days when I used to go and do programs, Kingsley used to drive. He was a student in UNEC here. Are you getting me? He would drive. Two of us would go and do seminars in University of Benin. I said, if I put him in position, you would think I'm detribalized. You don't realize that I've just gave my friend a position. I don't know whether I get to my point. Okay? I told a number of stories. I said, let us assume again. I give someone like my friend, Topsy in Lagos. I give him a position. You think I'm spreading it. What you not know is that everybody I've given a position, they are my personal people. I said, I schooled in the University of Benin, so I happen to know people a lot from different parts of the South. I told you before, my best man when I got married is an Igbo man. If I offend today and my wife needs to report me, the only person she reports me to is an Igbo man. It is not because I love Igbo people. It is because they are my friends. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say. It does nothing. They're just my brethren. We were in school together. But if I'm in politics, you won't know that. Because your mind is about national distribution of positions. I will occupy the position with only my friends and you will not know. Because one will be from Edo State, one will be from Delta, one will be from Enugu, one will be from Anambra, one will be from Umahia, one will come from Plateau State. I will occupy all the positions with my friends and you will think I'm a nice guy. I don't know what you're getting what I'm going to say here. See, I said, but do you know why you will say it like that? Because you have a tribal mind. Somebody who doesn't have a tribal mind will look closer and quickly discover that all of them were in the University of Benin. And you call it universitism. It's not tribalism anymore. But most people who don't realize that, they won't connect it. And I'll be having a nice time. Now, and that's when I say, look at the other way again. Let us assume, okay, that I schooled in University of Ife. That's Obafemi Awolowo University. Well, University of Ife, when people like us entered university those days. I said, let's just assume so. So naturally, you will find out that because most people there are from the West, most of my friends will be from the West. Assuming that when I finished, I didn't come to Enugu like I did, in real life, I got a job in Ibadan. Then you'll find that most people I know will also be from the West. So when I start occupying an office, if I start putting my friends in office, if you have a tribal mind, you are going to interpret that as what? Tribalism. Meanwhile, the reality is friendism. You know what they call friendism? You know, I have to invent words to make my message clear. This is my own message I'm preaching. Now, please, why did I tell all this story? To let you know what they call the mind. The mind is how you interpret things that you encounter in life. And that was why I gave the quote from the mouth of Napoleon. He said, don't ascribe to conspiracy what can be explained by incompetence. Because what was he saying? Renew your mind, my friend, and start with competency before you start talking about whether somebody is from here or not from here. I have a colleague. He's an expert in drawing nepotic lines. What I mean is this. If I shake your hand and say, Chooks, how are you doing? Within a short while, he has connected who your wife is, her uncle, how her uncle is indirectly related with my younger brother's senior sister. And how, by the time he finishes, he will say, that's why I shook your hand. The only way, I told him that you have a problem. No, I told him to his face. The only way he can interpret anything is always is a matter of blood relation, marriage relation, village man, village woman. That's all of it. He doesn't even remember that they went to the same church. He doesn't even remember that they were in class together. That's what the Bible calls mind. I hope you're familiar with this issue of mind. Ben Carson told the story of how he went to the wards as a resident doctor in Johns Hopkins. And because he was a black man, in a neurosurgery ward. The nurse just looked at him and said, "Have you come to carry the next patient for surgery?" Assuming it was an orderly. And he just smiled and clarified for her that, "No, I am Dr. Carson." Said the woman was embarrassed. Now, he could, and in this world, the world of today, they call it what they call racism. He said, "No." He said, "Put yourself in the woman's shoes. She has never seen a black resident on her wards. All the black people she had ever seen were orderlies." It's not racism, it's experience. He said, "I could have made a lot of noise." Read this book, Be Gifted Hands. The story is inside there. He said, "I could have made a lot of noise." He said, "No, but I just smiled gently to her." He said, "All the till he retired, I'm sure, or the woman most likely retired first, but till they stopped working together, she was loyal to him to the core because she was always trying to pay off for, because that slight was intense for them. But for him, he took no offense." He said, "Think about it. What do you expect her to think? Think about it." I mean, when he got the job as what they call chief of pediatric neurosurgery, it was news. A black man, Johns Hopkins, chief of pediatric neurosurgery. People told him, listen to this, because you see, in Nigeria, we have to address these issues. People told him and said that when he went to apply for work, when he finished his residency training, he left, went to Australia, worked for some time, came back, and he applied for the position. When they told him the position was open as the chief of pediatric neurosurgery, and his friends came and said, "Don't worry, they will not employ you. Better come to where you can do good for your black, for your brothers, no black brother." Once people start calling themselves brother, brother, brother like that, most of the time they feel oppressed. That's the issue. All this conspiracy of oppressed people. I'm telling you. He said, "Come and do something for your brother, brother." So he was fine. I said, "Look, you know these white people? They said everything to him about white people." He smiled. It didn't bother. He went up, applied for his job, went for his interview, and unanimously, a pure white board, every man or woman on that board was a white person. They said, "This man is the best person for the job," and they gave him that job. Are you getting my point? Everybody that predicted that he wouldn't get it was wrong. Please, I'm talking about the mind. The mind is how you interpret things. And the Bible says, you must be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's an active process. It's something that you do deliberately. You must say to yourself, henceforth, I must interpret the events of my life with the word of God. Now, there's a reason why I say all of these things. I'm sure you know what the mind means now. You are very clear about it. Okay? All right? Mind is, if, for example, I'm going on the road, I see Okemuti and I don't greet him. What does that mean? You can say he's angry with him, or he did not see him, or he expected him to greet him first. You can interpret anyway. Whatever conclusion you come to is what the Bible calls what? Mind, the way you did it. It says you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, you see why I'm saying this in a moment. Why I told all that story. As believers, we must recognize one thing. The power belongs to God. Somebody say that, please. One more time. Remember, I began trying to emphasize something about those that fear the Lord spoke often one to another. And that's where I was. Now listen to this. Things happen in life. How do we interpret them? APC government is in power. Is this the change you voted for? There is no hope for a young man in this country. Listen to me. That statement is an insult to God. Do you know why? You have taken power away from God and given to APC. Did you hear what I said? Because you said APC is the reason why a young man will not make progress in the country. Now, you're talking to yourself. I mean, you're not talking to God. You and your friend, you are gisting in your room. You're talking over two bottles of Gudamax, which has loosened your tongue. So you are saying what is really in your mind. And we start analyzing it. Listen to it. The way the former president and the next president after the current president and the three of them, the way they are going, we can never do well in this country. You have insulted God. You have said the power belongs to man. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me give an example. Why were you not promoted? My boss does not like me. You have insulted God. You are saying the power belongs to your boss. Let me tell you the truth. When we are speaking one to another, God is watching them. If you were not promoted in the office, somebody said, what happened? This is the statement that should come from your mouth. Maybe it did not please the Lord at this time. Even though the boss came to you and said, let me tell you, Uche, you will not get it this time. And he carries it out. And you get the details of the entries. How they needed an appraisal score of 75 and above for you to qualify for the next position. And the man could easily have given you 75. He deliberately gave you 73. If you say he is the reason why I'm not making progress, you have insulted the Lord. You have said the power belongs to my boss. That's why I talked about mind. I spoke extensively about mind. You know, I want to digress. All right? When I meditate on some things and it excites me, I like to share it sometimes. All right? Now, remember I'm talking about renewing the mind. And as believers, our minds must be trained with God's word. I say this all the time. Because we are Christians and we're learning God's word, we should know exactly what makes for the future of our children. Are you getting my point? Sometimes when people are discussing and they're talking about school for your child, where your child should grow up, which country, and all of that. You know, I say all the time, don't mind me, but mind me very well because I'm telling the truth. Okay? The country your child is born says nothing about whether he'll do well in life. What does it say? Zero. Nothing. What did I say? Zero. It says zero about whether your child will do well in life or will not. You can have your child, like I say all the time, anywhere you like in the world. But believe me, nothing has been spoken concerning his destiny. That is why, personally, I don't break my head over it. It's not about money. It's not even about... my basic reason is that for me, there's nothing. Zero. So if you say, okay, for me, I consider it like, should your wife deliver in Parklin or UNTH? That's how I look at it. Lagos, that is Nigeria or US or UK, is the same thing. I can't see any difference. I know the truth. There is no difference. Many of the people you talk about, maybe in the United States today, who are doing very well, a lot of them are immigrants from, you know this guy, what is his name? Elon Musk. Is that his name? Yes, of Tesla. Many people don't know he's South African. Yes. Was as a grown-up that he went to school abroad and all of that, okay? The fact is this. Where your child is born does not in any way determine, does not give him an advantage, does not give him a disadvantage. What really gives a fellow an advantage or disadvantage is decided later. That passport issued at birth says nothing. I don't want to sit on that matter now. Let me just leave that statement there. Okay? I won't say more than that. What I'm going to bring out here is this. When we are making decisions sometimes about our children, all right, as Christians, we don't talk like people whose minds are renewed. People seem to focus so much on the economic climate, academic climate of a nation as an example. And they don't even say anything about the spiritual climate. I'm talking about renewing the mind. When your mind is renewed, when you want to judge, a renewed mind tells you all these things are important. So you add everything together. Is it all right? Education is good here. Economy is good here. What about the spiritual climate? What about the moral values? You just concerned about everything. And for me, because I know scriptures, I know that what my children need is a manifestation of the promise of God. And he said to Abraham, for it to happen, they must learn righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice is more important for their destiny, the knowledge and practice of it, than a good degree from any country or their passport. If they don't understand righteousness and justice, no matter the passport they carry, no matter the degree they have, the promise of God in their lives is not manifest. That was what he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. He said, I have chosen him because I know he will instruct his household, his children, his household after him, how to do righteousness in the way of the Lord, in doing righteousness and justice so that God can perform that which he has promised concerning him. That is, no matter how much I pray for my children and bless them, if righteousness and justice are not established in their lives, their destiny is in jeopardy. I know what I'm saying. I've not lost track. That was something that I told you, the digression. It came to my mind. That believers must be careful that when you are making decisions, you reason about all of these things. When you are talking, now back to what I was saying, talking about meditation, talking to one another. When you are talking, you must be careful in life that you don't speak against the Lord. I keep on emphasizing that to Christians. You must be careful that you don't speak against God when you are this. You are planning the destiny of your children. You are planning your investments. You are planning your life. You are discussing the country. I said something last time that we often forget how to, are you getting me? Talk about the Lord. When we want to talk about God a lot of times, we want to say, oh, he's Jehovah, what do you call it? Find me another one. Megedishki, Shalom, Rufeka. You use all kinds of names. Then we will now sit down. I will now want to discuss what's happening in our lives. What kind of statement do we make? If APC does not get it right, we are finished in this country. You have withdrawn all the Jehovah, this Jehovah that you have declared and have said APC is God. Don't forget total faith. These are the times faith is determined. Listen, don't joke with personal conversation. Oh, don't joke. If you are in a corner talking, the Bible makes it clear the Lord hears. You know, I've seen people, Christians, mock God. They don't know. You come and teach and teach and teach and teach. You tell young women that your destiny is not determined by the kind of husband you marry. You are supposed to go into that home you are creating with the blessing of God inside your heart. I remember one sister told me something one of her friends said. We all attended a faith seminar in school, marriage seminar. And they taught some of these divine truths. And the girl got to the hostel and said, jokingly, with her friends, forget all that thing that Reverend, let's assume the name is Matthew, it's not Matthew. Forget all that thing that Reverend Matthew said, though. Me, I am still going to look for a tall, dark, and handsome man to marry. You see, you must be careful you don't joke with God's word. Like I said, the foolish man says in his heart, let him just keep it in his heart. That's my emphasis. He shouldn't open his mouth to say it. Once I was preaching, it's never go here. There was one big church, one of these Orthodox churches, they did a youth conference. The last day was a Sunday. Hall was full. And I was preaching. And the young people, it was a youth meeting. So I talked about marriage. And along the line, I was just explaining these divine principles. And I said, when I asked my wife to marry me and she agreed, the ring I gave her, I bought it in Yaba, Teju Osho, for 300 naira. And everybody laughed. Of course, it was funny. 300 bucks, even at that time, it was cheap. That ring now, I don't think, okay, things have changed. Maybe it go down cost now, it will be expensive now. It should be up to 1,002. Yes, so you know it's not an expensive ring at all right? For our international audience, let's give them in dollars. It's buying a ring for like $5, all right? Something like that. You know, as long as I was saying it, the Holy Spirit is wonderful. There was this fine girl sitting somewhere towards the back on the right, on my right side of the hall. I don't know how Holy Spirit just says, look at her. I just saw her mouth tell her friends, I won't take it. The hall was full. That's what I told you about the side of the hall. She was sitting towards the back. My eyes just narrowed at that point. As she was talking to her friend, I said, I won't take it. I said, let me tell you the other things you will not take. Because you're looking at the ring. I said, no, it's not the ring. It's the man who gave it. Are you out of your mind? In my mind, who even wants to marry you? You are saying I won't take it. I knew who I was talking to. The Holy Spirit filled my mouth with words for her. I began to tell her things she wouldn't take. You reject a 300 naira ring? I said, my wife has never had to complain about her car before I buy a new one. I said, once it was her birthday, I remember that ring. So I went to the market and bought, not now, this was years ago, about 10 years ago. All right? I said, I bought, more than 10 years, I bought two rings for 50,000 naira. I began to tell her things. I said, oh, you won't take the 300 naira ring? Let me tell you the other things you will not take. You will not take this faithful husband who has eyes for no other woman apart from the one he has married. It's been 16 years. I love my wife now more than I did when I loved her at that time. I said, you won't take that. Those are the things you will not get for that statement. To get humble. Listen, when the word of God is coming forth, you are careful. You are careful. I can't be preaching. You sit down there and tell me, no, I won't take it. I was teaching divine principles. I was explaining that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And you opened your mouth and said, I won't take it. You are spurning the counsel of God. God is talking. And listen, forget the fact that I saw that girl in church. But in your bedroom, he's there and hearing it clearly. As you're sitting down with your friends and saying, hey, other one, they are saying, you know, life is hard. Better find a man that will take care of you. Meanwhile, you just left the church where I preached. And I said, you're a child of God. You don't need, there are mindsets you're not supposed to have. Once I went somewhere to preach. When I finished preaching, talking about victory in Christ, some women left and said, this man does not understand African demons. As God will have it, it was reported to me. And I felt I owed them a duty to teach them the word of God. Bishop, you were there. Next day I came back, I was on fire. I said, you know your problem? Fear rules your life. I don't understand African demons. Come and sleep the way I do. Can you dare it? You that understand African demons, sleep the way I do. I say, you can't. You wake up at night, you are praying. I wake up at night, if I have to pray, it's to give God thanks and meditate, plan some things, bless my home. I have never uttered the name of demons and witches when I wake up at night. It's an insult to my person. Satan, you can't keep me awake at night. Come when I have finished sleeping. I will not fast because of you. I will eat first if I have to handle you. If I want to fast, let me fast to know the face of my God. Let me fast to understand his counsel. Let me fast so I can focus on what he has to say to me. But if he says it's a devil, I eat first. I did when I finished, I said, listen, if you can, talk the way I have spoken. But you can't because of what? Fear.
Fear rules you. I said, follow the man that is free. Follow the one that is free. You are shouting against what I'm talking about. I tell you, there's victory in Christ. I don't know African demons. You are very stupid. I'm not saying I'm a great man. I said, there is victory in Christ. Who is the demon where my Christ stands? Am I talking about myself? No. I am talking about Christ. I am talking about the fact that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the covenant, protection, and defense of the Almighty. Who is the African demon? Please, I'm going somewhere. I'm trying to emphasize to us that this small talk that we talk is what the Bible calls meditations. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. When you sit down with your family, you sit down with your friends, and you are discussing matters of the country, who do you give the glory to? Like I say all the time, you can travel anywhere you like. It's good. If you like, go to Bolivia, go to Peru, go to Bangladesh, go to Scotland, go to Canada, I don't care. But when you're talking, be careful the kind of things you say about those places. If you say a man can't make it until he has gotten a visa, you have taken glory away from God. You have insulted his name. That's what I'm saying. When you are planning how to spend your money, plan your career, hear the kind of statements you make. Once a friend of mine and I were speaking in the office, and he told me a story that one young man said in his ear hearing of what the young man said. The young man was talking about how to make it in life. Now, what he would like to do after getting a university degree, say in engineering, he would go and look for one of these big men, maybe like the one of these EDs in Shell, Chevron, you know, Ajib, and work there as a driver or as a cleaner in the house. And that he will work very hard so that the man will be impressed. And then one day the man would say, this young man, you are so hard working. Don't you want to go to school? He says, sir, I've gone to school. What? You've gone to school? Yes, sir, I have a degree in engineering. He said, the man will be so impressed, he will get him a job. I told my friend, I said, go and tell that boy, I said, poverty will kill him. He's a schemer. I said, that is, he's going to do eye service for what he's going to get. Now, what I'm talking about is the fact that young men talk about this. People talk about this. And they think the Lord is not hearing. And my message today is that the Lord is hearing. They are meditating against the word of God. That's what they are doing. They are meditating against the word of God. We must be careful. God said, you must be careful to give glory. Is that same Malachi? You should know it now. He used to preach Malachi a lot. I think we are around chapter 2. He said, the commandment is to you, O priest. Yes, chapter 2, verse 1. Thank you. It's Malachi chapter 2. The Lord was rebuking the nation. He said, this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, and indeed I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away, and you will be taken away with it. Now let me just stop here. Now, what I want to bring out is that expression where he said, if you do not take it to heart to give honor or to give glory to my name. I want to adapt it in the context of what we are saying, and I want believers to be very, very careful. Remember, don't ever forget, in your private talk, the Lord is hearing. And those are the things that actually constitute meditation. And what I'm teaching today is to explain to believers that you must be careful to give glory to God when you meditate on everything. That's what I want to emphasize. Like our nation, there's been a lot of crisis in recent times. How do people interpret? I belong to a chat group of my colleagues, And it's only out of respect for them that I have not pulled myself out. They annoy me. They do. And if they continue, right now, I don't read, when they talk, I don't read it. Once it's serious talk, it's political matter, I jump it. I don't talk about it. I don't pay attention to it. Now, that's how the average person talks. The other day I found, in fact, they even sent out around a video clip produced by the current GMD of NNPC, the Minister of State for Petroleum. I forwarded to my brethren, when listening to it, after watching it, I forwarded to my brethren, and I just told them simply, now, there are two ways to respond to this. The man talked about the genesis of the current fuel crisis. I don't know how many of you have seen the video. But yes, okay, let me just give you a few, in 30 seconds, what he said. He said that it started because when he came to office, they were owing marketers something between 500 and 600 billion naira in subsidy money. He said it was closer to 600 than to 500. And first, he had to get that paid. Went to National Assembly, talked to the president. Finally, it took a while, he got it paid. He said by that time, the dollar crisis had begun. Dollar was scarce, so they now didn't have where to buy dollar to bring in new products. The NNPC before was supplying about 40 to 45% of our consumption nationwide, but all the other people stopped importing. So NNPC was now alone supplying between 80 and 100% of what all of us are going to use in the nation. He said they are not equipped for that. And he talked and talked about the things he had put in place. He's finally planning to get the pipelines flowing again, something that has not worked in about 10 years, that is, they do a bridging all the time. The pipelines should flow. They should just pump fuel in Port Harcourt and they should just come straight to Enugu. That most of these depots have been shut down for up to 10 years. Talked about contracting them out, how they'll get private people to manage. It said a lot of things. Later, one of our brothers said, if you go to his website, that in his office, on his wall, he has things written out that they want to do and it ticks them off as each one is being done. That the man is very serious. So I told the brethren, I said, listen, there are two ways to respond to this. The first and typical way, the common way, is to look for all the loopholes, all the lies, all the inaccuracies, all the misrepresentations that are possibly present inside those statements. So that's the first way. And believe me, that is what 90% of my countrymen do. Insult the man thoroughly. Remember when you saw him in a private jet? You remember how much money was earning before where he came from? Does he know what poverty is? As if he has anything to do with the job he's doing. You see all of those things, then finally talk about why everything he said will not work. Then by the time you finish, you have spiritually polluted the atmosphere and created a thick fog around him he can't see. If 100 million people do that to that man, he won't be able to see. They create such a spiritual atmosphere, the man will be confused. So that's the first way to respond. The second way to respond is simple. He said, you do like Paul. What does Paul do? Paul will analyze the statement and look for something that we can thank God for inside it. Paul went to Corinth. He heard about Corinth. Let me tell you the things in Corinth. One, there were factions. There were at least three factions mentioned. Some were of Paul. Some were of... there were four factions, sorry. Some were of Paul. Some were of Apollos. Some were of Peter. And some said, we are not of any of the three. We are of Jesus Christ. Four factions in the church. In that same church, when they want to prophesy, somebody will say, thus says the Lord. And that will say, wait, let me finish what he's beginning to say to me. Interruption. They used to prophesy in a cacophonous... Listen, all their meetings were pure cacophony. Disorder. They will speak in tongues. Nobody understands what the person is saying. I forgot to tell you, when they come for communion, they went in groups. Rich guys on this side. Poor guys on this side. They ate differently instead of having things in communion. That's a third problem. There's another one I forgot to mention. There was one boy, his own sexual immorality was not practiced even by unbelievers in Corinth. That's what Paul said. Paul said, even this one is not named amongst unbelievers. We've seen at least four problems. We can add more. They don't understand spiritual gifts. We can, reading through the letters of Paul, we can see so many things that were wrong in that church. But Paul will start with, I thank my God when I heard news of your faith. Paul will say, I know you don't come behind in any spiritual gift. Prophecy was with them. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, performing of miracles, healings, tongues, diverse kinds of tongues. They had all of them. And Paul said, you are not doing bad in that area. He said, but I have something against you guys. I heard there are factions among you. You are being babies. He started with thanksgiving. But you know the way typical brother and sister you have in Nigeria starts when they see government policies? It's with criticism. I remember the first time they built this NNPC mega station in Enugu. Remember that one? Which has been a deliverance for many, many people in this town. You know that. One of my colleagues in the office, I said, oh, NNPC is building megas because they had one, they started in Lagos. They were opening different. So when Enugu was about to start, I said, wow, they are coming to Enugu with a mega station. I remember the first statement, I said, that is not the solution. That was the first statement that came out of an informed man's mind. He said, that is not the solution. So I asked him, solution to what? He said, it's not the solution. I said, to which problem? Whether it will solve all your health challenges, no, it's not the solution. Whether it will bring money into your pocket, it certainly is not the solution. Whether it will earn Nigeria more forex, it is not the solution. But whether it will make fuel more available, definitely it will contribute little. Paul, you know what Paul will do? He will first sit down and look for what to thank God for. So I told my brethren, I said, please, go through what he has said and let's thank God. So I listed a few points. I don't want to bore you because it's not my main message, all right? Just an illustration. I just listed about four things inside the statement made by that man. I said, amongst these things, we can at least give God thanks. I said, what's the next thing? We begin to pray for him. We ensnare him with the words of his mouth. We declare that spiritual principle upon him that you have said this, you will do it. We ask God to send angels to assist him. We will frustrate by our prayer the counsel of those who will not benefit from the progress the man is planning. I said, this is how Christians respond. And when we finish all of that, we end it again with thanksgiving. Listen, you are not allowed to say anything different as a believer because the Lord is hearing. In fact, I made a statement. I said, well, we are saying it. We should remember that it is God that supplies fuel, not human beings. Ah, you don't know that? You have not thought about it before. Now, let me tell you. It is God that supplies fuel, not human beings. Not human beings. Not an NPC. Say, boy, NPC does. Yeah, he uses them. He said, there is none good but God. Any good you see anybody do, God use the person. So you don't ascribe. Listen, if you need fuel, if you need things to work well, you need power to be constant, you don't pray to an NPC, you pray to God. Then he now sends his power through those channels to manifest his glory, if that is what he desires. You know, if you have been praying for Nitel, are you getting my point? Nitel was not the supplier of telephone connection. It was God. So when God says, since you people will not do the job, and it is time to bless people with something, he went around them and raised up other people until Nitel could not be sold. It was worth nothing. It wasn't worth even the landed property it was sitting on, even though it, after railway and night post, I don't think anybody in Nigeria has more land than Nitel. Okay, apart from the Orthodox churches, man, those guys get land. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying today. My emphasis, let me say it again, that's one more time, that when we are talking in our homes, that is when we are actually meditating. That is when God is actually listening. That is when he's actually listening. And that is when we must be careful to give glory to his name and not give glory to any other thing. It is not when we are in church. Everybody behaves well in church. They say what is good in church. But when they are home, when the husband and wife is alone in their room and the children are not there, pastor is not there, of course. Then they start talking. And that is what God actually hears. If you are plotting for your life, you are plotting for your children, God is listening. Are you putting spiritual things into consideration? He's listening. You're plotting how to spend your money, he's listening. All that one that people raise from you in church, that does not decide whether you will prosper or not. Listen, if I say this, some people will be surprised. All those offerings that pour out under agitation by somebody on the pulpit, 99% does not produce anything for the Christian that responds. I'm not saying it's bad to give, I'm just saying all those things that they promise you, you won't get it. Don't deceive yourself. You want to know the one that really produces? I'll tell you. The one when you're at home, and your wife and you are talking, and you decide, do you know I saw that man the other day? I don't think he has paid his children's fees. And your wife says, are you sure? You know, I saw them in school, I saw something. What do we do? Let us see what we can do to help. That's how to be blessed. That thing they said in church today, they really need that money. Why? For that particular, because church is also the work of God. Are you getting my point? Say, are you serious? What can we do? Well, I think we can forgo that trip one day to take home. That will save us this amount of money. And we can help the brethren with this. That is when God is listening. Are you getting my point? All the wonder somebody's jamming as you come to the front, your life will be moving forward. Better sit down where you are. That's when the Bible talks about being a cheerful giver. That one that rises, he said, as he proposes in his heart. The one that you, with purpose in your heart, make up your mind. Nobody's there. Nobody's cajoling you. Nobody's putting pressure on you. You're just in your house. You and your friend, you are discussing. I like to use couples as an example so they can tell, so the left, right, and right hand matter is not a big deal here. They can talk to each other. And then they say, those that feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord heard. Please, that kind of talk is what I'm calling meditation. The Bible says, let that meditation, the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be acceptable in his sight. Don't ever, let me just clarify that again. Don't ever think while you are discussing. Say, man, there's trouble. I just made up my mind. If I don't go abroad, I will not succeed. You are speaking against God. Those who God said would die in the wilderness, they said exactly the same thing. If we don't return to Egypt, we are in trouble. That's what they said. Yes. I need to emphasize this again. See this routine complaining we do every day as Christians. I wish you know how displeasing it is to God. I will bring it down to certain levels that will surprise you. You travel to Onitsha and back and the road is bad. And you sit down at home and said, I don't know, honey, what's going on in this country? This country is finished too. Why? A man cannot even drive in comfort to Onitsha and back. And we say we have a government. What is the government doing? Every one of those statements is accusation against God. What should you do? It's simple. Count the blessings. Number one, you came back safely. You overlooked that one. How could you have overlooked that? Do you know the number of dangers that the Lord spared you from in going and coming? I don't need to bore you. You know the dangers. Each time you go 100 kilometers that way, 100 kilometers back, you know, sometimes I think about it in the morning. I drive, tell my child, why you go say I'm going to Newe? They just say, bye-bye, see you. They take it for granted I'm coming back. Do you know how many people go? The journey does not even last 25 minutes. They are dead. It's only at night the family starts saying, why has he not come back? Should we observe the bad roads? Of course. But what do we say? Is what I'm talking about. We don't address such things with complaining. We address such things with gratitude and with prayer. The Lord will help us. That road will be repaired. How was the journey? We thank God we are back safely. Was the road smooth? No, the road was rough. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you can't observe that. Making an observation and complaining. There are giants in the land. Was that not what Caleb said? Did Joshua not say there are giants in the land? All the giants said is, okay, despite the giants, what's going to happen? We will still go in and take the land. But there are giants. Don't worry. Their defenses have departed from them. If our God is with us, those are the statements they focused on. People said, no, the road is too bad. We're not traveling again. And the Lord says, see, how they have conspired against me. In this country, can you imagine? If by the time you do business, by this amount of wealth, nothing will work again. When you say that, you are poisoning your business. What should you be saying? Please, I'm talking about this rebuke so much. Let me talk about what we are supposed to build and plant. What should you be saying? You lace every statement with the honor and the glory of God. Say, power is not constant. It's going to be expensive running your business. Say, God will give us wisdom that he has hidden for the upright. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You say, God, there must be, because listen, every adversity has hidden wisdom that God wants to release through it. I still remember when, you know, oh, God is good. Experience alone should teach us not to talk nonsense. What do I mean? Akin Bello Asagi, I quoted him a few days ago here. He said one of his greatest regrets in business is back to it now. He's the chairman of Etisalat. You know that. He was amongst those who bidded for GSM license. And somebody said to them that maybe only 30 million Nigerians will buy phones. So they calculated it and said the license is not worth more than $265 million. He said it himself. He said, now we look back, we know the true value of that license was $800 million. When they crossed, when $265 million, all right, was crossed, he dropped out of bidding. He said it was one of the worst business decisions of his life. That was what he said. I'm going somewhere. Why were they saying things to be difficult? Because they said lack of infrastructure. Nigeria doesn't have fiber optic cables. They don't have cables running all over the country. But God gave wisdom to people like MTN and Econet. They've worked in Africa. They said those are small things. Those who were listening to the white men, they were confused. When they came, I'm talking about hidden wisdom. If you remember, those of you who use phones very early, there used to be this walkie-talkie kind of lag. If somebody's calling you from Abuja or Lagos, they will talk. There's a small half a second pause before you can respond and all of that. Do you know the reason why? Your communication was going through satellite. Satellite communication is slow compared to cable. Now, it was when I was reading the story of Strive initially that I noticed it. When they arrived, communicating between Lagos and Abuja, Abuja and Enugu and different parts of the country was a problem because we did not have the infrastructure, which was the reason why, that was the reason why many people said they are not coming. But those men had a meeting, the Econet people, and Strive said to the engineers, what are we going to do? They said, he asked them, is there any other way? Because they needed to interconnect. Otherwise, they had to route through Nitel cables, which would be, you know the way it would have been, a headache. Said there had to be a direct way. The man insisted. They said the only option they have has never been used anywhere in the world. So he said, is it that it's not possible or it has never been used? The engineer said it is possible. It's just that nobody has ever done it. He said, in that case, do it. That was the satellite linking that they were doing. They said Nigeria was the first place anybody was using it for telecom GSM connections. When MTN heard that Econet had done it, the MTN man picked his phone and called that guy and said, oh boy, you're a cowboy. That's what he said to him. MTN copied. Wisdom that people didn't use because there were other things to do. Listen, in the midst of adversity, there's hidden wisdom. There is hidden wisdom. Don't let anybody tell you lies that the problem is the reason why your business can't do well. If you accept it, it is to you according to your faith. How do you build faith? That's the point I'm making. No matter what the problem is, you speak only God's word. Oh, we should read that one that Isaiah said. Because it is so beautiful. To the word and to the testimony. He said, if they do not speak according to this word, It is because light has not yet dawned on them. That should be Isaiah chapter 8. Let's start from verse 16. He said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. He said, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will even look eagerly for him. He said, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells on Mount Zion. So when they say, consult the mediums and the spiritists, whom whisper and mutter. He says, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? He said, to the law and to the testimony. That's where we're supposed to go. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. That is, light has not yet shone on them. Let me stop here. Why I read that is the fact that he directed us to the law and to the testimony. And I was saying earlier, talking about mind, as believers, we must be careful to interpret everything in our lives according to the word of God. I hope you're getting my point. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Never, ever give the glory to another one. What do? Each time we magnify God in the midst of circumstances. Let me quickly drop this and I begin to close. There is a major problem we have had in Christianity of today. And that is what I call devil worship. People don't realize that they are worshiping the devil. They give glory to his name. That is the devil. I don't mean God's name. They give honor to the name of the devil. Every time people come, they tell you, and the devil came. You've heard it before. And the devil came. And the devil came. And the devil said, I like one pastor those days when we were winners in Lagos, when I used to go for services there, especially during breakthrough seminars. When, you know, the winners, they take this testimony time. So they'll come and say, and the devil came, and the devil came, the man will withdraw the microphone and say, what happened when the Lord came? He always did that. But you see, human beings are so devil fixated. We've heard this story before now. That is a joke, but it tells an idea. So the devil was sitting in front of a church crying. He said, Mr. Devil, why are you crying? He said, the lies. What lies now? He said, everything that goes wrong in these people's lives, they say it is me. Even when I don't know about it. If they drink and drive and they jam, they say it's the devil. If they smoke next to petrol and there's fire explosion, they say it is me. Sometimes I don't know, I'm not even around. By the time I come back, the charge sheet against me is full. Listen, as believers, we must be careful not to magnify the devil in our lives. We must be careful. Do things go wrong once in a while? Yes. Do they go wrong because of the devil? No. They go wrong for three reasons. One, our ignorance, our carelessness, our misbehaviors. Number two, there's a testing of our faith. God said, let me see what these boys are going to do if I don't even come through quickly. I want to teach them that life does not depend on man, on bread alone. I can bring manna when people don't even know there's anything available. He said sometimes they are so disobedient and there has to be a just recompense or reward. Those are the only three reasons things go wrong in the lives of a Christian. It is never the devil. Never the devil. So you say the devil doesn't have power? Yes, that's exactly what I said. Did you need to hear it before? What is the role of the devil? I'll tell you. The devil only gets power over believers when one of those three conditions have been fulfilled. For that reason, when you want to stop the problem, you don't go after the devil. You go after those three things. Sometimes number one is just ignorance. My best example these days is that every person falling sick says it's my age. They say age is a disease. When God says clearly, age is not a disease. So if they say age is a disease, why is your knee paining you? You know, last 3 weeks ago was my 56th birthday. So after that, my knees are paining me. Instead of him to say no, lay hands on your knee and say, in the name of Jesus, receive strength. He sits down in ignorance and says, the devil that's attacking my knee. It's not the devil that's attacking his knee. It is ignorance that settled there. What am I trying to explain? Listen, even when we talk, let's be careful never to magnify the devil. I've heard it again and again. People will tell me, a witch afflicted my family for 15 years, and you are Christians. Please, those are statements that are good for people who are not believers. But if you are believers, no. I'm not trying to teach on that now, but the emphasis that when you are talking, don't even talk about that. A friend of mine, the son died. And the neighbor came to their house and said, "Madam, I want you to know we have found out." "Found out what? Who killed your son?" "Is that madam next door? The woman is a witch." My friend, in her grief, started laughing. She roared with laughter and said, "Madam, come and start going home." I don't know what happened, but I can assure you of one thing. A witch did not kill my son. To the law and to the testimony. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. In your life, you must always, that's what you do, speak according to God's word. Please, I still have so many things to say. I'm just stuck on this one I've said so far. I'm sure it's helping some people. If you have been blessed, please give me an amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that's very encouraging. You know, when you are doing this work, you want this kind of encouragement. Thank you very much. The Lord is good. Now, I said something last time, which is part of what I'm saying here. I said I woke up in the morning one day, and I do with my children now. I catch them once in a while. I say, "Let's talk about the Lord." I said that last week. I said, "Cause my victory this morning." Was it yesterday this morning? I just said, "Come, let's talk about the Lord." And I want to introduce that to us again as Christians. Let's make it a habit. Just chat about the Lord. The time we spend chatting about trivial things is eating away at our faith. I told you, one of the reasons why I stopped watching football as a young man was for one simple reason. I did not want to have information to contribute when discussions would start. That was all. Because I was in school, and I would find my friends sit down for an hour talking about one European club, and one Portuguese club, and one Brazilian club, and people would spend an hour exercising themselves almost to boxing. So I reasoned. It was just simple reasoning. That if you don't watch, you have nothing to say. I'm not kidding though. That was one major reason I said I'm not watching. Let's watch football. No, I'm not watching. Because if I watch now, the next discussion will be there. 1 hour analyzing football, which does not help your life. It is sound funny, but I want many people listening to me to go along that path. For the simple reason that, check it. You spend too much time analyzing what makes no meaning to your life. It boosts the flesh, you feel happy. Is it a sin? No, it's not a sin. In itself, because sin can be very relative sometimes. But the Bible says all things may be lawful, but they are not all expedient. It is eating your time. That's the point I'm making. What is that time supposed to be for? It is the time you are supposed to exercise yourself in talking about God. This thing, my brethren, it boosts faith. It boosts faith. I told you that day, it was a small experience, my wife and I just took a stroll, 30, 45 minutes or so. And in that stroll, we talked about why is our faith not working as much as it should? Is it that we are not doing something correct? We're just walking on the road and just talking. We prayed for this. Did we see the manifestation of what we prayed for? If not, why not? Did God fail? No, he doesn't fail. What was wrong with us? Husband and wife, you must do that kind of talk daily. Regularly. You know what gossip does? He wastes our time. You know all this analysis of political situations? Some people will sit down every day and be watching, what do you call it? This thing or AIT? Is it Kakaki? No, there's one political something. You want to hear my advice? Don't bother. You know, the other day, I used to do something. Every day, I like knowing what's going on, all right? So, I flip the news. So, you know, American primaries is going on now. They're almost through with it, all right? Then they're going for the main election in November, right? Yes. So every day I used to watch it, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, and Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, all of those people. They weren't that they're laughing. And since that time, I don't watch it as regularly as I used to watch it. Do you know why? I was just watching, I just suddenly realized something. I said, God has decided who's winning. So I said, why am I watching this? I don't know whether you get my point. I was watching that day. I remember I was watching that. I was trying to analyze, Donald Trump should be able to do this. What about this person, Ted Cruz? Can he, this brother is dropping out. Then suddenly something drops in my mind. I said, what's all of this you are doing? Do you know the person that will win has been determined? Oh, I lost interest. I still watch it a bit, but that was the day my interest died. I just realized that all this noise is what is called many, many activities. You know, people are just busy. People keep them, God has kept them occupied with many activities. The person who will win has been determined. Now, I'm not speaking prophetically, but this is an interesting thing. It may not even be amongst the people all of us have seen. That day I realized that God has already decided who's winning. I hope you're getting my point. I'm going to emphasize something to us. There's a habit that other things we talk about has taken away from us and, very importantly, succeeded therefore in weakening our faith. It has succeeded therefore in weakening our faith. What is the habit? To just sit down and just talk about the Lord. You just sit down and let's say, you and your friend say, today, let's talk about money. And you start saying the things. You're not arguing. There's different. This is not argument. You're just talking about things that you have learned. Things that you have come to understand. You just start looking and say, do you know that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses? Even if all you are doing is reading scripture to each other. You know, the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Amen, bro. Is your shepherd? Mine too. Hallelujah. You flip again. He said, do you know? He said, no good thing will be withheld from the person that walks uprightly. Are we walking uprightly? Let us pray for a minute. Father, every upright lack of uprightness in us, uproot it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know? We will have been slaves. Were it not for Jesus that died on the cross? I do with my children these days. I started just last week. I just grabbed them and said, victory. Let's talk about the Lord. Do you know because of him we are free? You say, Do you know he's watching? In fact, the one I told him this morning, was this morning or yesterday? I said, do you know our lives are not accidents? I said, we are not here because we want to be here. We are here because God has led us here. I said, do you know he's leading us somewhere tomorrow? If we follow him, he will take us there. The boy is 8 years old. I said, do you know if we follow him, he will take us somewhere great? Just a few statements. That's what I mean by talking about the Lord. As believers concerning Nigeria, you can sit down and say, Christians, let's talk. Let's talk about the nation. Do you know the destiny of nations is decided by God? Do you know God has chosen times and seasons and different epochs? We know that he's the one that makes rulers. He brings up one after he has put down another. He removed good Lord Jonathan from office and he put Buhari in there. You tell a few stories. Oh, the other day I listened to David Paulson. Said David Paulson, he said that once he was traveling to Israel. When he got to Israel, he realized that God just spoke to him that Margaret Thatcher was going to be their next prime minister. So he took a letter and wrote to Margaret Thatcher that God said you will be the prime minister next, and these are the things he wants you to do. He said he wrote to, of course, Margaret Thatcher became the prime minister. Then one day told another person that before the end of that year, she will stop being prime minister because God is disappointed about something she did not do. I don't know whether he told her, but he told people. This is her last year in office as prime minister. You know, she did not serve her term out. It was not the election that took her out. And then she resigned. He said it ahead that God said, for certain reasons, she disappointed me in this and this and that. For that reason, I'm removing her this year. God handpicked, for those of you who were doubting it before, believe it today. He had handpicked Muhammadu Buhari and said, I am removing good Lord Jonathan from office. And I don't know the reasons, but he specifically mentioned reasons. I will replace him with this man. And if the man, listen, God has assignment for every head of state. And his assignment is not what you are thinking. He didn't say, go and give them a good life. People think presidents were appointed to make your life sweet. You had better pray. When you have prayed and God says, show them mercy, then he will send somebody like that. There are times God will look and say, Egyptians have annoyed me. Therefore, I will give them over into the hands of a cruel ruler. When God wanted to break the hold that Islam had in Nigeria, he sent Sani Abacha. And I knew that prophecy long before that. I first heard it discussed in 1986. It took a while. Then one day, a man came to office. You may be looking for whatever. The man, God had given him one assignment. Depose Dasuki. Let them know that the Nigerian head of state is superior to the Sultan. That's all. Every head of state has a job. These are the things they talk about discussing. You pray for a man that's in the office right now and say, Lord, whatever it is that his assignment, let it be fulfilled if it's for our good. If it is for our bad, please have mercy on us. That's how, because that's how you pray. There's no obojo in this thing. No. Some of the things we call faith is nothing but stupid obojo. Say, God, we'll not go agree. Say, sit down there. You will see. Don't agree. Better move. When it was time to destroy Jerusalem, all he told the people is that I'll do you a favor. I will let you know when so you can run ahead of time. So once the armies began to surround Jerusalem, every Christian disappeared. That's how you pray. Say, Lord, this man that you have brought in, I believe is for good anyway. That's my persuasion. Help him to do good. Then you start fighting. When you finish discussing, listen to this. Those are the times. Now, I have a word from God. That is the reason why God has not been showing us enough revelation of things to come. We have not been paying attention by talking about him. That is why everything has been taking us by surprise. We have not been paying enough attention by talking about him. If you speak, if Christians gather regularly and talk according to what I have said, it will now become commonplace that God said, don't worry. This is the last 6 weeks. Get fuel ready. There will be difficult to find fuel for the next 6 weeks. But don't worry. In the seventh week, fuel will be as common as water around you. This is why we have not been getting, because there was a time I wrote an article and said to my brother, I said, where is thus says the Lord? Why is everything taking us by surprise? I just got the answers I was preaching now. That is the reason. Nobody pays me attention. When they come to churches, bless me, extra, extra, add more. Let them just gather and talk, magnify the name of God. They're not asking for anything. They just, let's talk about the nation. They just are reciting things that he rules in the affairs of men. He has appointed us for a job this season. Lord, reveal to us what's our assignment. Listen, if enough of us gather and do that regularly, revelation will be commonplace. Somebody will just come to church one day and say, brethren, please, as I was praying yesterday, I just had this strong feeling and I shared with the pastor and he said it seems to be the Spirit of God that please, everybody should please fill all their cars, buy a few extra jerry cans of fuel because it shall be 6 weeks before there is ease again. Then when people are starting their own, all of you just relax. Say, man, the thing is now 700 a liter. You just smile. Say, today is the end of the sixth week. By this week, rejoice. Because deliverance has come. That is the atmosphere in which the Lord gives revelation to his people. When they take it to heart to talk about him. That's what I'm talking about. Let me close here. I hope I've made some point today. Next time, you say you're always saying this, but actually it's true. Today I wanted to talk about everyday technology in the advancement of your faith. In fact, I kept my phone here because I quickly downloaded some information, and so I left it on the phone, of how the Roman roads were prepared by God for the advancement of the gospel. I've also heard that spoken about on Coral Ridge Hour, when I was listening to one of the Presbyterian preachers in the U.S. then. So I just Googled it just before coming up, and I saw a lot of information on this. I wanted to use that, but time has taken that from me now. So we'll go on to it next time. Because next thing I want to explain is that you must fill your atmosphere with the Word of God. You must let it talk to you when you lie down. That's one habit my wife and I have. Sometimes we slip away, sometimes we come back to it. You want to sleep, you scroll to your tab, press on Kenneth Hagin, and it stays there. You may hear it for only 5 minutes. It may just be 5 minutes and you doze off. But that's 5 minutes adding to the store of information for faith in your heart. Many of you have I've given you my car to do something. Once you turn my key, a message comes on. In the same manner, he wants to fill your heart with knowledge. He did not give us, listen, WhatsApp is not for talking nonsense. It's for spreading truth. Don't be an alarmist. Movie is burning. Don't forward it. Rubbish forward. Most Christians, they pray, God won't hear because they are alarmists. They are afraid. You will get a message, movie is burning. Now you got it 6 years ago. It's still burning. Have you not gotten that one?
Yes, sir.
Somebody just get up and write something. Don't be an alarmist. God gave you all of those things for certain important information to be spread around. The earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. I hope you've learned something. I talk so much. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Let's thank you. Let's say, Father, we thank you because you have set us free. Say, Father, we thank you because our lives are hid in Christ in God. Say, in Christ I'm hidden. In Christ I'm safe. In Christ I'm forgiven. In Christ I'm protected. In Christ I prosper. Say, in Christ I see the face of God. Say, I have received favor. I have received forgiveness. I have received mercy. I have received healing, therefore. You know, Jesus will say, look, your sins are forgiven you. He said, if he has committed any sins, the man that is sick, it will be forgiven him. That is, when God forgives, he heals. You are forgiven in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Therefore, I curse every sickness out of your system.
Amen.
I command it to disappear in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If it's diabetes, they call it, I call it healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I call you well in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, healing is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The strength of God comes to you right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I declare to you that evil will not befall you.
Amen.
I feel like saying this, in this country you will prosper.
Amen.
You will have your own fuel.
Amen.
Somebody here will begin to refine fuel after a while.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The anointing to run a refinery, receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Laws will be written so that you can participate. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are things that God does just for the show of it. Yes, he said, it's my glory. Let me just show it on somebody. He gave Peter a draught of fish and called Peter away from it. Sometimes he just does just to make a point. God will make a point in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Somebody here, you have children until you start complaining.
Amen.
Because God just wants to make a point. God's point will be seen in your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody here, listen. You will buy 4 cars in one day and dash people.
Amen.
Say, why? I just wanted to do it. What are you getting from it? Nothing. Let it just be that I did it.
Amen.
It will happen to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
From this land, you will prosper.
Amen.
You will give scholarships. People will go abroad for postgraduate and it's from your pocket.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They say, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They say, come and see. They will come and they will see you. From that your village, people will say, can anything good come out of there? And they will say concerning you, come and see. And they will come and they will see you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I pray for you, your faith will not fail.
Amen.
No matter be the challenges of life, your faith will not fail.
Amen.
The angels of God will protect you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Everybody here, you are not only blessed, you are a blessing. Let me give an assignment. Tomorrow, just put some money in your pocket. Just look for somebody and just dash somebody. Just for the sake, I don't care how poor you think you are. Between now and tomorrow, pray that God give me small money. And just wake up after church. Just pay, you don't have to, just pay transport for somebody. It's a prophetic word. You do it tomorrow. Make sure you dash somebody money.
Amen.
Why? It's a sign of great things to come.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship quickly. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. And we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ.
We have passed her from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with